This morning, we're asking the question, what is the gospel? So, I ask you, when you hear the term gospel, what comes to mind for you? What do you think of? What do you think the word gospel means? The word of God? Good. The good news? Anybody else? Those are good answers. The word of God and good news. The word gospel itself means good news. So that is a very common answer to this question. And I saw a video once, and they were asking people on the street if they could describe the gospel or what was their definition of the gospel. And some of the answers were almost unbelievable, really off the beaten chart. Some were pretty close. And some people had absolutely no clue what the term gospel means. So when you ask this question, the answer that you get is going to be varied depending on who you're talking to. But the real question that begs to be answered is this: does your answer, or does in the other denominations answer, to what the gospel really is, does it coincide to what Jesus told us? Does your answer, or is your answer, the same thing Jesus told us that the gospel is? After all, if anyone should know what this gospel is, it would be Jesus Christ. He was the first preacher to preach and teach this gospel. And this gospel must have been considered very important, because we are told in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, that it was so important that God first had this gospel preached and brought into this world by His only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. And in Luke 4:43, Jesus Himself tells us exactly why He was sent to this earth. And we're going to be referring to this verse quite often this morning. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 43, Jesus says, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So Jesus is telling us exactly why He came to this world. He came to preach about the kingdom of God. In this kingdom of God, this is something that would have been considered new and radical. However, Jesus worked hard. He worked tirelessly on this task that His Father had given Him. If you remember, we talked a couple, 3 weeks ago about the feeding of the 5,000 and how they were out late, almost to early hours in the morning. Jesus worked hard on preaching this gospel. But there's some things that we need to know. There's some things that we need to understand. So turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. It says, "If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Paul is warning Timothy here. He says, if there's someone who does not teach, if there's someone who does not preach, if there's someone who does not agree with the words of Jesus Christ and with the doctrine that he taught, that this person is conceited and controversial. And what's worse, if you look at verse 5, Paul says that this person has a depraved mind and himself is deprived of the truth. Those are pretty strong words, aren't they? In 2 John, in the book of 2 John, in verses 9 through 11, we are given a very clear and we are given a scary warning to those who do not teach and who do not abide in the teachings of Jesus. It says, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Two different people. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in evil deeds. It is extremely important that we teach and that we preach what Jesus taught. And it's extremely important that we understand the Scriptures very clearly. God's holy word has made it more than abundantly clear that this gospel is very important. Therefore, we must be aware of that fact. And we need to understand what this gospel is. We need to see if we can find out what this gospel is all about. What exactly is the gospel? The good news is the news that Jesus told us about in Luke 4:43. It's that of a coming kingdom of God. And Jesus knew the importance of this message. And if you look through what's commonly called the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you look at these Gospels, you'll notice that Jesus talks about this coming kingdom first. Here's what I mean by that. The message of God's coming kingdom was the main priority for him. If you take a good look at the Scriptures, you will see that Jesus was well into his ministry before he told his disciples anything about his upcoming death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus' main focus, his main priority, his first priority was that of proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus called this gospel the gospel of the kingdom, and the kingdom, or the gospel of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of heaven. And these two phrases can be used interchangeably. The promise of a coming kingdom was foretold by the prophets in the Old Testament. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 through 16, we can read of the promise made to King David. David was promised that the kingdom of Israel would someday be a permanent kingdom. And he was also promised that it would be one of his descendants that would be the ruler over this kingdom. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 44. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. The prophet Daniel is giving us great insight here to God's kingdom. And he's telling us that God will set up a kingdom, and this kingdom will not be destroyed, and that this kingdom will not be able to be destroyed. And I want you to take note of the fact that in this verse, Daniel is telling us that he will put an end to all these kingdoms, to all other kingdoms, but itself will endure forever. When God has his kingdom established on this earth, he will set up a government. He will set up a government on this entire earth. He will take over all the other governments. They will be no more. And oftentimes, I don't think we realize this fact. And this is one reason that when Jesus returns, this is one reason the world's going to be unhappy and not like what's going on, because he's going to take over. And in the passage of Scripture that we commonly read at Christmas time in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders." Isaiah goes on to give him names: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. But what I want you to note here is that the prophet is telling us that when God's kingdom is established on this earth, that Jesus will rule this government. There will be a new government established. In this day and age, when we think of politics and we think about the political arena in this country today, we do not think of anything that's necessarily good or positive, do we? However, when Jesus returns, when he returns to this earth and take over all the world powers, all the world governments, he will set up his own government under the authority of Father God. And this government will be formed on this renewed earth, and Jesus will rule the world with justice, equality, and with peace. We read in Luke 4:43 that Jesus himself told us that the reason he came to this earth was to preach the kingdom of God. The prophets told us, the prophets of old told us, that Jesus was coming to establish a kingdom, and that a kingdom would be established, and this government would be controlled with a king. Like I said, Jesus told us in Luke 4:43 that he came to this earth to preach the kingdom. Preach the kingdom of God. In Matthew 24:14, Jesus says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." These two passages, along with many others, clearly tell us the importance, and it shows us that the main focus of Jesus early on in his ministry was that of the coming kingdom of God. With that being said, why is it then that there are so many preachers and there are so many teachers that focus only on his death, burial, and resurrection and leave out the gospel message altogether? Why does that happen? It goes back to the age-old question, does it really matter, or does it really matter what you believe, especially concerning Jesus Christ and God's coming kingdom? The world is full of many different denominations teaching many different things, but I believe with every ounce of my being that it is of the utmost importance that we proclaim the genuine gospel that Jesus proclaimed. The gospel of the kingdom of God. And I also believe that it is vitally important that for us to be able to do this, we must understand who the real messianic Jesus really is. In modern day churches, people are asked, just believe in Jesus. Just give your heart to Jesus. Just have Jesus come into your lives. But when this happens, there is oftentimes no clear idea of what exactly Jesus really is. Who is this Jesus? And more importantly, are they being taught about the real Jesus? Or are they being taught about the Jesus that Greek philosophy believed in? They have no clear idea who Jesus is, and they seldom, if ever, are taught Jesus' message about a coming kingdom. And that seems so strange to me, especially when you take light of the fact that Jesus preached this message, the message of the coming kingdom of God, long before he ever talked about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. For most of modern day Christianity, they've abandoned the teaching of the gospel of the kingdom, and they've lost their focus because they're not focused on the historical Jesus. You know, if we claim Jesus as Savior and we're not firmly grounded in a historical figure that's recorded in the New Testament, then who knows what kind of Jesus do we believe in? And this just opens the door for Satan, because he can easily take advantage of someone who's weak, someone who does not really know who Jesus is, someone who may know only a superficial Jesus and not the real Jesus of the Bible. How many are being deceived? How many have put their lives and their salvation in a false hope and in a false teaching? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of John. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" Clearly, we must not only believe in Jesus, but Jesus says we must believe what I believe. He says, "How will you believe my words?" To be a Christian and to be a follower of Jesus Christ means that we must have the faith of Jesus as well as having faith in Jesus. And I think another reason that the true message of Jesus and of the coming kingdom of God is not taught is because it undermines another commonly preached doctrine or idea that is not taught in Scriptures. This idea does not and cannot make any sense, especially in light of the fact that Jesus boldly and plainly preached about the coming kingdom of God that is to be established here on this earth. There's a reason that seldom, if ever, preaching about the kingdom of God is done, and it's because it contradicts their teaching that heaven is the reward of the righteous, not the kingdom of God that Jesus preached about. Matthew 5:5, Jesus plainly tells us, he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Jesus didn't say, "Blessed are the meek, for they will go to heaven." Jesus didn't say, "Blessed are the meek, for they will have a disembodied soul that goes to heaven." Jesus clearly told us that the meek will inherit the earth, a renewed earth that has been cleansed and perfected by Father God. Heaven belongs to God, not to man. To believe you go to heaven when you die is to put your trust in another lie perpetrated by Greek mythology. How many times do you hear, especially at funerals, "He or she is in a better place"? Or, "I know Grandma is looking down on me right now this very minute." Or, "When I die, I'll get to heaven and I'll be able to see my loved ones who've gone before me." You hear that a lot. And I'm so very thankful that I'm not the judge, because when I hear talk like this, I become concerned for these people. And the reason is that this kind of talk is not at all the way Jesus talked, is it? Look through your scriptures. Jesus never said anything like that. Jesus told us to believe His words, yet He never spoke of going to heaven when you die. Why then would a person utter words Jesus never did? Why speak against what Jesus spoke, and why speak against what He taught? Why believe what Jesus never taught? And it's another sermon for another Sunday, but Jesus did not tell the thief on the cross that He was going to heaven that very day. We just read in John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47, that we're supposed to talk like Jesus talked, and we're supposed to believe what Jesus believed. And Jesus made it very clear that there's going to be a coming kingdom, the kingdom of God, that is going to be established here on this earth, not in heaven. If we were in heaven, then why in the world would we ever want to come back to this earth, even if it was perfected, even if it had been remade new? Talking about going to heaven or other people being in heaven is obviously not the things that Jesus taught and the things that Jesus believed in. Why would Jesus teach of a coming kingdom if He did not believe in it? Why didn't He just say, all our disembodied souls will go back to the graves, and then there'll be a resurrection? He did not, because it is not true. The other thing to remember is that Jesus told us Himself that He did not go to heaven when He died. And what makes us more special than Him? Why would God need a kingdom here on this earth if we are all in heaven? The Greek mythological idea of going to heaven when you die does not fit with the teachings of Jesus, and it does not coincide. It's completely contrary with the words that Jesus has spoken throughout Scripture. And the apostles that spent so much time with Him, you know, they spent 3.5 years with Jesus. They knew, they believed in the importance of the gospel message. And they knew that the essential message of salvation revolved around the gospel of the coming kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ. And they knew it, and they knew that it was the real Jesus, the historical Jesus. At this point in time, brothers and sisters, these guys had never heard of a triune Godhead. They knew who Jesus is. Matthew talked about the gospel of the coming kingdom. So did Mark and Luke and John. And the Apostle Paul, he believed in the salvation of the gospel message of the kingdom. And in Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31, we read, "And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness and unhindered." This message was so important to Paul that he spent 2 whole years at his own expense preaching and teaching the same gospel that Jesus taught. The same exact gospel. And it tells us that Paul did not turn anybody away. He was willing to talk to anybody. He welcomed all those who came to him. All those that wanted to hear, and all those that were willing to listen. If you went to visit with Paul today and you sat down with him and listened to him, would you look him square in the eyes and say, "No, you got it all wrong. You don't know what you're talking about." The gospel message that Jesus taught is an awesome and powerful message. It is the good news about a kingdom that will be established here on this earth, once this earth has been renewed. It's a wonderful promise about a coming king who will rule with the rod of iron, and yet he will rule with honesty and with love. It is vitally important that we know exactly what this gospel is, and that we believe this gospel the same way that Jesus believed it and the same way that Jesus preached it. It is vital to know the human messianic Jesus and know and believe who He really is, to know the Jesus of the Bible and not the Jesus of Greek mythology. It is vital to know and understand that if you die before Jesus returns, that you will lay in your grave awaiting for the sound of the trumpet. And then, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, your life will be changed and you will be resurrected to eternal life, as long as you've died in Jesus Christ. Living forever in this kingdom, this coming kingdom that Jesus preached about and that we so anxiously await, we've been given a wonderful and beautiful picture of this peaceful coming kingdom. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. It says, "And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand in the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters that cover the sea." This is the time that we await for. This is the time that we long for. This is the reason that we need to proclaim the good news, the gospel of the coming kingdom of God. Now you know what the gospel really is. Don't keep it to yourself. Go tell somebody. Go tell the whole world.